This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're glad to have you with us today. You know, an enduring theme in any movie, story, book is we all love a good story. We all love something that maybe starts in tragedy, but somehow or another ends up well. And you can tell that story a thousand different ways, and we always enjoy it every time we hear it. We're always encouraged by it. Well, that's what we're going to do today on Peace Talk. Our guest is Bob Bardwell. Well, I could introduce you and tell you a little bit about his story, but I think, number one, it'll be hard for me to stop him from telling his story, so I'm not going to even try. So let's just go to Bob Bardwell. He's going to tell his story of how God's been working in his life the last 40 years after a terrible accident. Bob, glad to have you on Peace Talk.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. It's nice to be here, and I'm in Minnesota, but I hear you loud and clear, and I trust I can be an encouragement and blessing to your listeners there.
Well, let's get right into your story. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself so they have a feel for who Bob Bardwell really is.
All right, well, I guess I'll give it a name in my talk here. I'm going to call it 14,600 extra days and counting. And I got to qualify that. It was 40 years ago, this past July 16th, that I was involved in a heavy construction accident. So if you get out your calculator and you add up 40 years of days, it amounts to 14,600 extra days. And I always say I'm counting on the end. That's kind of important because I'm still doing well. But as I look back over my life, yes, I'll back up, of course, a few years there. I was 25 years old back in 1973, and I had just finished college. I'd finished Bible school and felt I was on my mission to do what God had called me to do. I had worked at a youth ranch out in Colorado and been involved in Awana clubs and youth ministry. So I just felt down in my heart that it was God's calling me into youth work, probably in a camp setting because I enjoyed the outdoors and was that kind of a kid. Well, you know, things change in our life and unexpected things. And I went off to work that summer, 1973, working for my father. He was a heavy construction contractor, so I was operating big equipment. And I was really just doing we'll probably call it a routine fix on this machine, this equipment. By about a quarter to 12 that day, a coworker was helping me repair some equipment. And I was sitting on the ground with some tools, and he accidentally dropped a large piece of equipment down on my shoulder that came from the kind of my blind side. And that forced my shoulder, then my chest down in between my knees, and just collapsed my body and pinned me right there in just a blink of an eye. And in that moment, Larry, my life changed. I was unconscious. My spinal cord was severed, and my lungs were collapsed. Ribs were crushed in, and really, that should have been my last breath there because the situation I was in, normally that's what would have happened. But, you know, you look back, and I look back now, of course, and somehow I'm not sure as God is busy taking care of this planet. His eyes are on me that day, and he must have somehow said, you know, Bob, we're not going to let you get out yet. We got a few more things for you to accomplish. And within a few minutes, there was some help arrived, which was a blessing, of course, because you need air in your lungs. And I was blessed. I was only about 30 minutes from the what we call the famous Mayo Clinic here in Rochester. So they put me in an ambulance and rushed me here to Rochester. And I was probably unconscious most of that whole day due to the trauma of my injury. I was actually paralyzed from the neck down for about a week. But, you know, so that was a day of sorrow and, a terrible thing happened to our family in my life. And you look back that day and, you know, when you think about just that day, why, what good could come out of that? But I always say a little saying, it says, God can take scars and turn them into stars. And if we're patient and allow him in his time to do that. So I was in the hospital for about 4 months, and Larry, after that, in what we call rehabilitation. And, you know, when you're in a hospital, most of the time you're on your back looking up, if you ever thought about that. And in a hospital, you can whittle the time away, or, you know, you do a lot of thinking. And, of course, being my age and my injury at that time, I had a lot to think about. Why maybe God spared my life and why I was still here. And there were a lot of people came by to encourage me, and some felt I would walk out of the hospital. And, you know, others came by just for prayer and encouragement. And it was a pretty amazing time. And one of my stories that's come out of that, Larry, is I tell people in life, you know, basically life is the sum total of our choices. I mean, that's just the way life is. We choose things, and then we, I guess, live our life. And back then, I had two choices, of course, when I left the hospital. One was to become a victim the rest of my life. And, you we all have a description of victims, and I always just say they don't have too many good days. They live a pretty negative life, and they blame others for all their trials and tribulations. And, it's just the life that they live and the life they choose to live. Well, and then on the other hand, you can be a victim or what I call be a victor. Now, I didn't say it's easy, Larry. Nothing's easy. But I always say being a victor is someone who smiles more often, looks at the positive side of things. Certainly thanks God for what you have, not what you don't have. And count your blessings, you know, the old gospel song. Spend a lot of time counting your blessings. Think about the good things I had just for a minute, your listeners. You know, I had good hospital care. Movement and feeling came back in my arms and shoulders. And I had a family. I had good doctors. I was surrounded by a lot of good things, even though it was a devastating time. When the doctor told me about a week after my injury, he said, as far as I know, Bob, you'll never walk again. You have two steel rods to support your back, your spine. And one of these days we'll put you in a wheelchair and, you'll be on your way. Well, we call that our circumstances. I guess we all have circumstances. Some we choose, and probably most of them we don't. But so that was back, 40 years ago, Larry. Long time ago, huh?
I recall, of course, I had an uncle who was who's still with us, who was involved in a terrible accident too, and okay. He went to the wheelchair, and I was thinking he's been there now for 60 some years.
Oh my goodness!
And wow. he's still with us. It's an amazing thing that he still is. But things like that happen. And I remember I was reading through some of the materials that you sent me about your life that you came across a rock that was painted in the words of Romans 8:28. What did that mean to you?
That landed in a hospital from a friend. He brought in kind of a heavy box. You know, I opened it up and it was very beautifully painted. And you know that rock today? Guess where it's sitting? Outside my office door. It holds my door open. And I haven't touched it. Those words are still there. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who are love God and them who are following basically God's plan. And, I've embraced that verse, of course, along with many other ones, but that's been a real source of strength for me throughout my journey.
Well, when I read that in your story, I'd actually even heard within the last week or so where, and I often hear this, where someone will almost speak dismissively of that verse, and I think what they're talking about is they're talking about how it just kind of gets thrown around by Christians every time something happens. Well, they'll just say, well, remember, all things work together for good. But that was a precious promise, wasn't it, that you grabbed hold of?
Well, yeah, I guess for me, I look back now, it's 40 years ago, and can I say that verse is true? Well, absolutely. You know, I could say maybe more the outcome of all things. I mean, the next day, it was still painful. There was no daylight at the end of the tunnel the next day or the next week or sometimes the next year. But, you know, God calls us to persevere, to be patient, to not fail, and just keep our faith in Him, not becoming bitter and angry at people and situations and keeping a good spirit. Well, and in fact, there's a great proverb that maybe you quote once in a while. I think it's about three times in the Proverbs. It says, a happy heart makes a good medicine. And there are different ways to phrase that verse, but that basically means a good spirit, a grateful spirit, a thankful spirit is a good medicine. And when you're sick, you like good medicine. And somehow I was able to possibly embrace that phrase, and I got out of the hospital about 6 weeks early from when we were predicting. And, of course, being in the hospital is a pretty safe environment, and you go back to your environment. But yes, Romans 8:28 is one that I use a lot. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ. And there's just a lot of things the last 40 years that have helped me persevere and really maintain. I've had my share of trials. In fact, just today, they were asking me at this prison I was able to speak at here, what's my biggest challenge, a physical challenge. I said, well, my legs are pretty high maintenance. They got poor circulation, and I get staph infection, and I broke my femur bone one time, but I got to take care of myself. Like anybody, if you don't have your health, you can't accomplish much. And so with God's grace, my doctor Jacobson, he tells me every time I go back for a checkup, he says, now, Bob, look me in the eye. I said, yes, sir, I will do that. He says, Bob, you need to be reminded that you're in like the top 5% of people with good health with your injury. And I always just paused. I said, sir, you're right. That's a blessing to God's goodness, to you as my doctor. And I said, I haven't forgotten that. So every morning when I get up, I say, Lord, here's my hands, here's my heart, here's my wheels. help me to be the light and the salt today, and, you know, I kind of roll out the door.
Well, let me ask you this question.
That's the way it's been.
Many, many people, you know, and you have that irrepressible sound that, you know, that brick walls and things like that, you're going to run right through. But most people that I've talked to and we've talked to on Peace Talk, they don't get there automatically. They run through discouragement. They run through times of hopelessness. Did you, and how did you deal with it?
Well, you know, I guess that's not an easy question to answer. And somehow, and I guess that's the best word for right now, you know, again, it goes back to choices you make. But, you know, could I be discouraged? I could be discouraged today if I wanted to be. And I guess I try to spend more time thinking about the good things in life. And, you know, your mind is a powerful thing. Someone has said, oh, the healing power of a healthy mind, you know. And I just encourage people to have their mindset look more, train your mind to look at the good things. You do have blessings to count. There are things you can be thankful for. And if grief endures today, you know, the Bible says joy might come in the morning, and be a person of hope. And I know, it's painful and it's not easy, but we only have one life to live. And God's strength is there. And sometimes I know we feel God's abandoned us and he's not answering our prayers. And, you know, and where is he? Well, I don't know. I can just say that as I look at my life, of course I've gone through some discouragements, you know. And as far as depression goes, I would say I probably haven't been depressed. That leads to some pretty bad outcome. So a supportive family I've had, a good community, and somehow the little measure of little seed of faith I've had, God has seemed to honor that. And, you know, with my family now, you've read about these four beautiful daughters I have and how we got Ironwood Springs Christian Ranch started and building this Miracle Lodge. And really, it's pretty overwhelming what God has allowed me as one person to accomplish. And had I made the wrong choices back, you know, 30, 40 years ago and chose to, you know, just kind of give up and feel like nobody's got as bad as I do and have low self-esteem, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, no, I'm not just telling people just start trusting God. That's you know, that's a good statement, but it takes time. It takes people to be surrounded by people that encourage you. I often, in fact, I illustrated this morning to the inmates about I've done Boston Marathon about 5 times, and you know, when you get up to about mile 20 or so, you hit this thing. It's called Heartbreak Hill. And everybody in life encounters Heartbreak Hill, probably many times. And, you know, Heartbreak Hill, you can't leave the hill. You don't let go in your wheelchair. You roll to the bottom. And you're on a mission to get to the top so you can somehow get to the finish line. And this Heartbreak Hill, it's steep. You're tired. The thing inside your chest is making a lot of noise. Your vision's kind of blurry. And there you are. But what do? Well, you got to take another push. You got to give God another day in life. You got to believe that someone's going to come along and out of nowhere sometimes and be there just when you need it. And what happens at this Heartbreak Hill at Boston is, you know, these spectators are hanging out on the edge of the road. I mean, they're crowding in on the road. They got these signs they've made up, you know, on pieces of cardboard and all. They're sticking them in your face, you know. You're looking good and you're going to get there. And, well, they encourage you. And I would say as we talk today, my favorite topic of conversation is encouragement because I have a little saying that says, you know, how do you tell if someone needs encouragement, Larry? You know, there's a little way you can tell that, and the answer is if they're breathing.
Okay. I got to stop you right there because we're up to our break, and it has just flown by. But, Bob, we're going to come back, and when we come back, we'll pick it up right there. How do you encourage somebody? And then tell us what God has done in the ministries that God has opened up to you, and we offer that as encouragement to those listening to Peace Talk today. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Remember, this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.